People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members of Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School in Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.
Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Generations. Thanks for joining us tonight. Generations, this is the radio program that gives you news from the front line of the war of the world views. Wicked people are doing wicked things, and life has lost meaning. Reading through the news today, we see much, much meaninglessness. In Red Lake, Minnesota, a 16-year-old acted out a philosophy that he was taught in school, that we are just cosmic dust, and here by random processes over a long period of time, and that life has no purpose and no meaning. There is no truth. He went and shot and killed his grandfather, who was his caretaker, his grandfather's girlfriend, and went to the public school and continued to shoot. I believe 9 people are now dead, including him, who committed suicide afterwards. Now, an interesting sidelight of this story is that had this young man not killed himself, not committed suicide, he would not be facing a death sentence today. He would not be facing the death penalty. There would be no one in the judiciary who could say that act is so wicked and so atrocious it deserves death. Because the Supreme Court has found that it's inhumane and uncivilized to execute a minor, no matter how many people they kill. Now, when we read the Constitution of the United States, we don't find that. We don't find any words that convey that meaning. But the Supreme Court found meaning where there wasn't meaning, in words that don't exist. Of course, this is not a surprise. They found a constitutional right to privacy. Though there is no right to privacy enumerated in the Constitution, they found a right to privacy that basically doesn't stop the government from sticking its nose in your business. It only allows you to kill your children if they're not yet born. But that's the world we live in, a world where wicked people do wicked things, where there is not absolute truth, there is not purpose in life, and words don't have meaning. The Terri Schiavo case has been on the news lately, and I don't think we should even call it the Terri Schiavo case. I think we should call it the Terri Schiavo murder case. There are people who are trying to murder this woman. There is, of course, her husband. There are also judges who are complicit. A 16-year-old can shoot up a school full of children and not get the death penalty. But a woman who can't speak, whose husband is in adultery, she deserves the death penalty. If Terri Schiavo was not a woman, but she was, say, a golden retriever, it would be illegal to deprive her of food and water unto death, because in the state of Florida, that's considered animal cruelty. But according to those sages in black robes, it's her constitutional right to die, perhaps against her wishes. We don't know. It's all hearsay, because the man who wants to kill her says so. James Whitmore, who was the federal judge who heard the case first after Congress passed the law requiring jurisdiction to go to a federal judge, he spent a few hours. Yes, he took his time out of his busy schedule, maybe missed a dinner party or, I don't know, perhaps missed a Pac-Man tournament or something, and took a few hours and reviewed the case, didn't hear any witnesses, just looked through some affidavits, and he decided, nah, kill her. In Atlanta, an appeals panel made up of three judges, looked at the case for a few hours, and two of the three decided, killer. Now, it's clear that the case is headed for the Supreme Court. It's also clear that if the Supreme Court doesn't do things in their normal pace, Terri Schiavo will be dead before the case reaches their desk. Now, we live in a time where words don't mean what words mean, but words mean what the receiver wants them to mean. I was reading an article about a feminist who is complaining about the term Big Bang, the Big Bang, which describes a theory for the start of our universe, a large explosion that some scientists believe is how the world started, the world that we know it. Well, it turns out the Big Bang is keeping girls away from science because big explosions, things that go boom and bang, those are things that boys like, not girls. Do you remember the president of Harvard, Lawrence Summers, when he said something about boys and girls being different? And the feminists were outraged? It's funny. The feminists are outraged because boys and girls are different when it comes to terms like the Big Bang. But we live in a time when words don't mean things. The First Amendment to the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, it's a very small paragraph. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. Pretty simple. Well, in Montana, there was Senate Bill 291. It was called the Quality Homeschool and Child Protection Act. It was put forth by Senator Don Ryan. Now, Senator Don Ryan was a member of the NEA, the Teachers Union, a former school teacher, and apparently he didn't believe he had a conflict of interest. He just wanted to see homeschoolers doing as well as the public schoolers. Because, you know, they're only doing about 25 to 30 percentile points better than those who are educated by the NEA. That's right, they're doing about 25 or 30 percentile points better. And so we had to put a stop to that. Ryan shared his concerns. He brought up one anecdotal story. He heard from a Missoula teacher of a fourth grade student who's read from only one book, only one text in the whole education. This child has only read from one book. Now, the child could read because they were reading from that book, and the book doesn't really have pictures. His complaint was that book was the Bible. Now, I compare that to fourth grade students in public schools. Well, that's not fair. They can't even have the Bible. This bill would have required homeschools where a parent has not a teaching license or a college degree to have oversight by a state-qualified monitor chosen by the school district. Read NEA member. Now, this idea of education, licensing parents to home education, this isn't new. In fact, it's kind of a watered-down version of Margaret Sanger's idea. Remember Margaret Sanger? She's the founder of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger said, quote, "No woman shall have the legal right to bear a child without a permit for parenthood." So licensing is nothing new. Margaret Sanger, who wanted mandatory sterilization for minority races and those that she found undesirable, and those in the public school system who want to maintain their monopoly over children's education and child training, they want to license parents. But this is not new. Where there is a world without meaning, there is simply a grab for power. But lest we think that Montana is alone in these kinds of acts, in Arkansas, House Bill 2439, a proposed act that would prohibit taking your child out of public school for homeschooling unless you did it first thing in the fall. Because once the NEA has your children, they should be able to take them to hell the whole year. In Hawaii, it's Senate Bill 1014. They're proposing a daytime curfew bill. If it passes, it would prohibit those under age 18, which is a compulsory attendance age, from being in any public place between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. Oh, did I read the Constitution's First Amendment that says the right of the people to peaceably assemble? Apparently not between 8:30 and 1:30 in Hawaii. Perhaps it's because those children who are 25 to 30 percentile points behind the homeschoolers might see those homeschoolers out learning in the field, and that might make them feel bad. I don't know. That might have been the motivation. But perhaps the worst, most wicked, most evil state legislation I've seen this year is House Bill 5354 in the state of Rhode Island. Now, Rhode Island, you cannot homeschool unless your homeschool is approved by the state. It's a form of licensing. Well, House Bill 5354 is an act that requires sex education for homeschoolers and private schools, starting at kindergarten and all the way through 12th grade. And if you do not meet the requirements of this program, which is covering their subject matter and in the manner prescribed, and that's a direct quote, manner prescribed, then they can remove the license. What's more is the manner prescribed requires that you do not inject any religious beliefs in your teaching. I want to go back to that First Amendment thing again. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In Rhode Island, they want to make it so you have to teach wickedness to your children without the use of the Bible. You cannot counteract this area of morality, of sex education in your homeschool. Well, that's where we stand. Wicked people are doing wicked things. They're finding meaning in words that don't exist. And words that exist, they're finding meaningless. We live in a time when wicked people do wicked things. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about meaning and its relationship to the Bible when we get back from this break. Please don't go away. Generations will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303.
The police! They're here for the kids!
Ladies and gentlemen, there are forces that want to take your children out of your homeschool forever. It's a worldview thing. And one day a year, about 1,000 homeschool families converge on the Capitol to stand for their homeschool freedoms. This year, on Friday, April 8th, it's Homeschool Day at the Capitol, and your family can participate in this free event. Informative seminars, a noontime rally, historical and legislative tours, and you can sign your children up for the Future Statesman program. But most importantly, this is your opportunity to send a message to your legislators. We love our family, and we love our freedoms. This year, we are honoring Representative Dave Schultheis with our Statesman of the Year award. Do not miss Homeschool Day at the Capitol, April 8th. Sign up today at www.check.org. That's check, C-H-E-C.org, or call 877-842-CHECK. One day a year for freedom. Can you afford that?
Welcome back to Generations, the program tonight that is going to be meaningful because it is about meaning and it does have meaning. Now, when I communicate to you, I am giving meaning to my words. And when you hear those words, if I'm communicating well, you will hear the meaning in those words. I will first have a thought, some information, and I will encode that into some form. In this case, it's going to be words. And that encoded form will then be transported across a medium. In this case, it'll be sound waves across the air, and of course through the microphone, it'll turn into electrons, and it'll turn into radio waves, and it'll then be decoded on your radio, and it'll be translated back into sound waves, and it'll hit your ear, and your brain will hear these vibrations, and those vibrations will be decoded into words. You will receive the information that those sounds, those symbols represented. Well, that sounds all technical and all very, very interesting, if not boring. But let's say you're St. Paul, and you're writing a letter, say, to a church in Corinth. And you have these words, and you write them down, and it goes to somebody who reads the words, and they get the meaning from that. Now, where does the meaning lie? Where is the truth in that communication? Is it what St. Paul intended to say? Is it the words themselves, or is it what those who are reading them want it to say? In other words, does truth lie in the truth giver, in the communication itself, the words, or in the reception? Now, these are three theories. They have a profound effect on how we receive truth and how we interpret the Bible. Let me start with the words themselves. Some people say that the truth is found in the words themselves. So when we read the Bible, it is the actual words that are the truth. Now, those who say that tend to be quite lawyerly. If you have children, you know what I mean by lawyerly. You might ask your child, did you hit your sister with that book? And they'll say, no, I did not hit my sister with that book. Under further inquiry, you'll find out that they hit their sister with a different book. So they were getting meaning from the particular words and not from my intention. Now, some people have cleverly called that lying with the truth. The problem with that, of course, is that the words may change meaning over time. And the intention of the question, did you hit your sister with that book, wasn't did you hit your sister with that book, but did you hit your sister with any book? Did you hit your sister? That was clearly my intent. That was the information that I was trying to gather. So being lawyerly only leads to more and more laws and more legislation. Of course, then we have thousands and thousands of judges, and they're in every area of life trying to figure out what the meaning of is is. That is, we get to decide what those words may or may not mean, and we play with the definitions intentionally to make them mean what we want them to mean. That is very similar to the person who says that meaning is found in the receivers. Now, if I say, look, up in the road ahead, and you hear, look, up in the road, ahead. Now, those are two different things. Those are two different meanings. One is saying, look up on the road and see what's up ahead. See what's up there? The other is saying there's a head, a disembodied head laying out in the road. Now, which was the meaning that was intended? Where does the truth lie? Those who say it is in the receiver are those who find things like a right to privacy where there is no right to privacy, because they want there to be meaning where there is a right to privacy. In our federal courts, this has been the biggest issue in the last 50 years. Judge Robert Bork was denied a place on the Supreme Court because he said that we should go with the original intent, the author's intent. And we could find that out by looking at the words that he wrote and by looking at the cases that he heard and looking at the commentaries that he wrote and the writings about that. So if Congress passes a law, we should figure out what Congress wanted the law to do, and that's how we should rule. Well, of course, Judge Bork was denied a position on the court. Arlen Specter, a Republican from Pennsylvania, found the idea of original intent to be offensive. But when we approach the Bible, if we don't use the principle of original intent, we have a principle of autonomy. We can make the Bible say what we want it to say. We can impose our ideas on the Bible. And in fact, we submit the Bible to our reason, our wants, and our desires. The only approach that holds society together is the approach that says the meaning is found in the author's intent. So when we read the Bible, we try to understand it with the intention of the author. When we read the writings of Moses, we want to understand what Moses was intending to say. There is a truth, and the truth lies in the meaning and the intention. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. I want to bring a practical point to this, and that's right on the other side. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that is cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with powerful messages that will encourage your family to live and love together. Imagine a five-day family camp from $52. Okay, you can stop imagining now. It will happen next August in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on family, godly womanhood, how to be a man of God, from great speakers like Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr. and James and Stacy McDonald. There will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, and all the rest. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church strategically located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp@reformation.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are almost filled up. That's camp@reformationchurch.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Generations. You know, sometimes I feel like Lot, especially Peter's description of Lot, you know, the guy who escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter says, Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. And that's a fairly apt description, I believe, of how the Christian feels in this culture. It is a bad culture, but there is hope. Unlike Lot, there is more than 10 righteous people in this land. In fact, there's a whole generation coming up who understand meaning. Just last week, the state of Colorado had its spelling bee contest. It was won by a homeschooler. But just as interesting isn't just that a homeschooler won the competition, but in the finals, there were 9 students going into the final round. And 4 of the 9 top finishers were homeschooled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, homeschoolers make up far less than 10% of the student population, and yet nearly 50% of the finalists were homeschooling. Generations, this radio program is called Generations because we believe there is hope in the next generation, that there is a godly seed, a remnant, that we are raising Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegoes. We are raising Daniels to help raise up God's glory in this land. Meaning will come back when the people of God seek the meaning that is in the Bible. When we stop playing games with the text. When we stop trying to make the words say what we want the words to say. But we seek what God is trying to tell us. When we let God communicate His truth to us. And honor God in His place. Meaning will come back to this land. We are raising a generation. There is hope because God is alive and we are His remnant people. And if we act righteously and if we seek God's face and if we humble ourselves and if we call out to God in heaven, He will hear our prayer and He will heal this land.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to pray for your children tonight. Don't forget to pray for your pastor tonight and for your local church, that God would unify it and make it mighty in this land. And ladies and gentlemen, wake up tomorrow morning and say, today is the day the Lord has made. I am so glad and I rejoice that I have one more day to serve the King of Kings here on earth. Good night, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.